Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Podument Park, a podcast ostensibly talking about the Yankees doing things, but they are not doing things much in the second half. Frankly, neither have we. We had some other personal business to attend to the last couple weeks that prevents us from recording. It turns out that we would not have had all that much to say because the Yankees have looked about as lifeless as I've seen them in a long, long time. I'm Andrew Burns, joined by Kun Shaw. Do you disagree, or is this team going all the way?
Well, let me put it this way. Your question there had more life in it than the Yankees offense has had this whole second half at the very least.
Fair. Fair.
So I do not disagree.
This is saying this off the heels of that terrible, terrible August that they had last year. But at least, like, with that one, you could at least sense like a rage, like, what the hell is happening? We were so good just a couple months ago, and now we're like squandering it away. Whereas, like, this is just like, oh no, we're just bad, and this sucks, and everything sucks.
Yeah, like last season, like, yeah, exactly. That August was terrible, but it was like a month, and there was still Judge during it, so that helps a lot. And yeah, you could tell that there was actually like a search for answers, like whether or not they were successful or not. We could argue about that. I don't think you would see much argument from me, but that's a different story. This has just been a whole season-long process of just bad. And like, it just seems like there's no attempt at finding what the hell's wrong with this team.
I think and it's that weird. They just don't really have any answers at all, because the actual answer is just the guys who are supposed to be helping Judge in the lineup are just old and bad now. Josh Donaldson, that is not changing. They are all now basically 2022 Josh Donaldson, just without the unpleasant personalities.
Right. And there's part of me who's like, it's so weird for Rizzo and Stanton and DJ to just fall off the cliff all together at once. Because up until now, like with Rizzo, up until like that neck injury, Rizzo was hitting really well. And even like, you know, since he came over from the Cubs, he had been a very solid bat, like not like, you know, in his prime early 20s Anthony Rizzo, but a very solid like complement to Aaron Judge. It was good. DJ LeMahieu, you know, we kept talking about like, oh, if his foot's injured, his toe's injured and this and that, but like when he's actually healthy, he can hit the ball the other way, he can spray it and do what he needs to do. Giancarlo, again, same thing, injuries kind of set him back, but when he's healthy, he hits. And now it's just like all of them falling off the cliff at the same time essentially is just weird.
The DJ one is at least something that was less surprising, just considering how the past few years have gone. Sort of like the Yankees themselves, the only good like stretch that he had was in the first half last year, and then he got hurt and wasn't the same, and I'm not convinced that he's fully healthy. They insist he is. And it's possible he's just like healthy and bad now. He would not be the first infielder to fall off a cliff hitting wise, very abruptly. So, but DJ is just like, well, it's unfortunate that his decline happened so soon into this contract, but considering what he's been doing the past 3 years, not as shocking. Stanton is a guy who we know can just go into his bad stretches, and as he ages, the bad stretches are going to outweigh the hot streaks, and we are in that mode basically in 2023 where we are getting more bad stretches than hot streaks. Occasionally he'll pop some out, but not the same. Rizzo, I will say, I agree. That is the most shocking one, just because of how much he was hitting the ball in the first 2 months of the season. I don't think anyone thought that was going to be like Rizzo all year long, but the just catastrophic decline since like the end of May, he's been, by some measures, literally the worst qualified hitter in baseball since then. And that is just something you can't really battle. And they don't have the depth for it. When Jake Bowers is suddenly your second best hitter, then you're in shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's someone who's at least been, you know, occasionally hitting home runs. And like, it's weird that Jake Bowers is the guy, but that's it. That's Aaron Judge's support. Jake Bowers and Gleyber Torres sometimes. That's it.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Billy McKinney occasionally getting a hit.
Right. Like,
just as we projected in spring training.
It's ridiculous.
It's and stars and scrubs to the extreme.
Yeah, but even the stars, some of the stars are scrubs now.
Yeah, I guess literally just two stars being Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole, and then everyone else.
Two stars, a half a star in Gleyber, and then, yeah.
Yeah. It just sucks. And
it's like, you're not even guaranteed to win on Gerrit Cole starts because the offense may not even score a run or two.
No, I was the lucky enough soul to be in Baltimore, and they just did not score. Gerrit Cole threw 7 shutout innings, got no support, and they lost in the bottom of the ninth, 1-0. And honestly, yeah, the achievement there is holding the Orioles to 0 runs until the ninth. But
yeah,
it just never seemed like the Yankees were even close to scoring. And yeah, again, it's something that's been especially highlighted during the past month has been just the completely give up against all starting pitchers, no matter how bad the numbers they have carry into it. Like Grayson Rodriguez is a very good pitching prospect, and it wouldn't surprise me at all one day for like a year from now, it's like, oh yeah, Grayson Rodriguez just rolling everybody. But Grayson Rodriguez was not a good pitcher in 2023 entering that game, and he threw 7 shutout innings. And worse pitchers than him have been doing that this month for the Yankees.
Right. Yeah, and it seems like they somewhat come to life against like the other team's bullpen and whatever, but they don't get the starting pitcher out of the game early enough. Like every freaking starter goes like 7-8 innings, and then it's like, oh, we have 3 at-bats, 3 outs to overcome a 5-run deficit. Like, no, that's not going to work.
No. And there's just, like, no end in sight to this pattern because it just happens almost every day. And, you know, here's just the rundown of some courtesy of Gary Phillips from the Daily News. This is just on July 28th, so nothing since then. But Jameson Taillon, 6.93 ERA, 8 innings, no runs. Austin Gomber, 6.40 ERA, 6 innings, 2 runs. Chase Anderson, 6.89 ERA, 5 innings, no runs. Griffin Canning, 4.62 ERA, 5 2/3 innings, 2 runs, 12 strikeouts. Patrick Sandoval, 4.41 ERA, 7 1/3 innings, 1 run. Chase Silseth, 5.30 ERA, 5.2 innings, 1 run, 10 strikeouts. Grayson Rodriguez, I should remind myself, is 6 1/3 innings, not 7 full shutout. But that's a lot of pitchers who are not exactly, you know, Justin Verlander from Rivaldez, take your pick, who are just rolling the Yankees effortlessly.
Yeah, it's
bad.
It's bad. Like, yeah, obviously I'm being a little facetious, but there's a chance I can throw 5 innings of like 1-run ball against the Yankees.
If are you crafty? Do you have some off-speed pitches?
I might not even be able to make it from the mound to the catcher, and I can still do it. I don't know if I could throw the ball 60 feet or whatever the distance is. But yeah, I might be able to throw five innings against this team.
Yeah, and especially in this Rays series in particular. I mean, you should say for full context, the most recent Yankees games have been two losses against the Rays, and they scored three runs total, and two of them did not come until the ninth inning yesterday, where they were already losing 5-0, so it hardly mattered.
Yeah, if anyone was wondering, my specific numbers and my example of coming alive against the bullpen, whatever, came from last night.
Yeah. They are 11 games back of the Orioles. I actually hadn't looked at the AL East standings in a minute, and that's just baffling. But also somehow not baffling. Like, it's baffling on paper if you don't know the context of these Yankees. It is not at all if you've been watching them, especially for the last few months, because they are just pathetic.
I think it's baffling in both regards. Like, if you haven't, if you haven't. Yeah. Like, if you haven't been paying attention to them, it's like, wow, the Yankees are 11 games back. If you had been paying attention, wow, they're only 11 games back?
Yeah, it seems like a miracle. And it's sad that it makes, like, what they were doing the first couple months of the season look good. Right. Really, they've had... So they were 500 in April, and then they were 19-10 in May. And that was when Judge was just hitting a bunch of home runs. And, you know, Rizzo was actually alive, so some other stuff was happening. But since then, it's just been all bad. All bad. They're 6-10 in the second half. And that's not stretching back all the way to like beginning of June. Since the beginning of June, they are 21-28, which, yeah, that checks out. They've been playing like an under 500 team, and there's nothing really else you can say about it. They just look bad, and there's no end in sight. Like, and yeah.
2013 and 2014 come to mind as like the most recent like bad Yankees teams, and then 2016 as well. Yeah. But, like, there was something about those teams. Like, I'm not saying they were good or better even, but, like, they were watchable.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there was at least some fight to them. Like, you had, like, Brett Gardner supporting Robinson Cano. Occasionally you'd have some nice hits from weird sources. Maybe it was, like, Travis Hafner's occasional weird good game or Vernon Wells in the first couple months.
Like, Lyle Overbay. I was gonna say, yeah, we're talking about a season where they had to put Lyle Overbay in right field because they couldn't get rid of his bat.
Yeah.
And that's how pathetic the team's offense was. And still, I like just was able to watch them more. I can't bring myself to watch this team. I haven't watched a game. I think I've watched like one or two games since the All-Star break. Like, if I'm being completely honest here, I can't.
You're not missing much. I mean, you almost don't even need to watch the games because the same thing happens like every night basically.
That's what I'm saying. It's a very predictable outcome. When the offense has 18 strikeouts out of their 27 and the manager goes, well, besides the strikeouts, everything was really good. I thought the at bats were really good. No.
Incorrect.
I mean, yeah, technically maybe you're correct that besides the strikeouts, the at bats were okay. Like, okay, yeah, but like small sample size, because it was like, what, this is nine of the freaking that bat, like, outs. Like, come on, what are we doing here?
Yeah, so the offense is doing nothing, and then also the starting rotation is having blowups. Like, Luis Severino is just complete, oh my god, this, like, it's just depressing to watch him at this point. Like, he's just getting completely fried almost every single time. Like, he had a couple good outings toward the end of July, and then he just endured like the worst one of his career, basically,
yeah,
against the Orioles. And that was just a fitting capper to that series.
Pretty much. There was like some hope maybe, and then nope, we're just not doing this.
Yeah, now we've reached the point where these are just his season numbers, and he's been one of the worst pitchers in baseball. And it like crushes me because we love Sevy so much from what he meant to those, you know, the prime baby bomber era teams. And even just last year, he was really good. But it just isn't happening. And Nestor Cortes is about to be activated from the IL. And I think he's probably going to step in for Sevy because Domingo Germán is not all that exciting to me. But like, I don't see any reason why Sevy should be kept in the rotation over Germán.
No.
And not even from like one of our dumb cynical, just so we see less of Germán things, because it's not a plus to get Sevi getting plastered instead, you know?
No, exactly. Like,
it's just sad.
If somebody's going to get, like, blown up, I'd rather it be Herman on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
It hurts me to, like, see what's going on with Severino.
And maybe, like, the only thing you can do right now is see if you can figure something out in the bullpen. And I know that's probably not why he wants for his long-term outlook. He's about to be a free agent, but he's probably going to have to take a pillow contract somewhere else next year. So you think you just try throw him out in the bullpen, see what happens. Maybe if an opening pops up, you can try him in the rotation again, but this isn't working. And
no,
the bullpen needs a little bit of help too, since they've been overworked so much with only like Gerrit Cole providing them innings really in the first half. So they've been faltering lately too. Rod Marinaccio down in AAA.
Yeah, I think like Severino could probably work as like a multi-inning relief option or something, but you've got to do something there. Throw Randy Vasquez in the rotation at this point.
Yeah, like, or start Johnny Brito and then have Domingo Herman come in and relief anyway.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Like, Domingo Herman, as much as I don't like him, has probably been the most fascinating thing about this season. It's just been so weird.
Yeah.
Like, he went from bad to, oh, maybe he has poop on his hands, to, oh, sticky substance, suspension, to, oh, he just gave up 19 runs and over his last two starts, to, oh, we're going to throw a perfect game, to, oh, we're going to give up 20 runs over the next two starts, to, oh, my armpit hurts, so I can't start today, so we'll have Johnny Brito start. And then after Johnny Brito, like, kind of craps the bed, Domingo Herman appears out of nowhere. What? Like, this is just fascinating.
Yes, Booth is sometimes candid, sometimes not, but it was honestly hilarious that when they saw him, Domingo Herman, warming up in the bullpen, they're like, I guess he can pitch. Just like trying to reckon it. Just like, and then all the beat writers would be like, wait, Domingo Herman is warming up in the bullpen.
Like, what the hell is happening?
Oh my god.
And not for nothing, he's only been like slightly below average. He has a 93 ERA plus. Again, not great, but compared to like Luis Severino's 57, like, you'll take
good it. Lord, that is bad. Yeah, and like, yeah, the fact that he's been smoked in so many of his recent starts too, like, just complete, you can't put this bad offense out of it immediately, and he's been putting it out of it just questions so far that it's like, okay, well, why are you even playing the next eight innings?
Yeah. Honestly, like, I kind of wish, like, sometimes Aaron Boone just, like, literally wave a white flag. Like, you know what? Y'all got this. We're done. Get everyone out of their misery.
Well, I have good news for you, though.
Do you?
The season is going to be saved because the Yankees made a trade deadline deal and they added a reliever. And that's it.
Oh, what a relief.
Yeah, let's get into the trade deadline. Honestly, we should have let off the show with this, but we needed to work through some catch-up Yankees annoyance. But this is,
I needed to work through this process.
This is the latest frustration that the Yankees at the trade deadline, and to be clear, it was very much like 2016. They had entered it looking like shit, and there was some chatter. Maybe they would sell some of these rentals, especially the guys who are on expiring contracts. Harrison Bader, Wandy Peralta, IKF, even Sevi, maybe someone send you something for him, who knows. But they decided that they did not like what people were offering them, so they kept them all, and they also did not freely trade for anyone to make this team better. The only thing they did was add a reliever, and the bullpen, while it has been sort of dodgy in July, has been the best part of the team. So meanwhile, the offense has been one of the worst in baseball. So congrats, guys. You solved it.
Yeah, like, again, I don't really ever fault a team for not, quote-unquote, selling as much as it, like, makes sense. If you trade off, like, if you sell off, like, and I'm fully well admitting I've been essentially checked out for 2 weeks, but if you, like, try to start to trade the two, three good players you have that are in expiring contracts, like, you're giving me no reason to watch anymore completely, or even, like, follow. Like, you're just giving up. So, as much as I get it why people say they should, I don't necessarily personally get upset that they don't.
Well, the counterpoint is, was Harrison Bader making you watch this team, or was IKF or Wandy Peralta? Like, these are guys 100%. Who were extraneous to the roster who they could have dealt and maybe even done something in the second half anyway, because they're not such difference makers that they need to be around, you know?
I take umbrage to you mentioning IKF. I am his number one fan, and I love him now.
Obviously.
I love to eat a falafel.
Falafel.
Like I said, I've been checked out for 2 weeks at this point, like at the very least. Like, they weren't making me watch them, but I was still, like, following along. Like, I still cared enough to see what happened or whatever, even though I know exactly what's happening every single day. If they're just, like, punting, and again, I get it if they did. Like, I'm not saying it'd be the wrong move. I just personally am not upset that they didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and,
but, like,
we disagree there.
That's fair.
Yeah, because, like, it's just, they are floating along without any direction. They could have, I don't know if it would have been the right move to invest in this team by getting some trade chips in there. But they did not do that, and they did not sell. And, you know, there was some argument to trading, like, Gleyber Torres, Clay Holmes, Michael King, guys who have control beyond this year, just because it was very much a seller's market. Maybe you could get something more of them than you normally would. And you also don't know if anything will change with those guys. Maybe you'd be able to, maybe this might be their maximum value at this point. But I also understood the arguments for keeping those guys. I probably would have traded one of the relief, like I might have just traded Clay Holmes to see what would have been out there.
Right.
But at least the rentals, and I don't think that they would have been able to get anything like 2016 trade deadline hauls for them, but just the dithering with no direction has put them in a position where now they're just sort of going to be playing out the string. And again, just hoping that these veterans figure it out, and they probably won't, and they'll miss the playoffs. So, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, like, so like what I was getting is like, I don't necessarily fault them for not selling. Like, fine, but I think the stupider decision was to do nothing.
Yeah, that was like the worst.
That's what I was trying to get at. Like, that was selling. Like, okay, fine. Like, I don't necessarily love it when a team does that, but I get it. Right, it makes sense to a certain degree. But just doing nothing is just absolutely like inexcusable. Like, pick a lane, Brian Cashman. And from like all the reports about how he was just being frustrating to deal with, and just like asking for a king's ransom or like to like for any of the assets he had to trade. And it's just like, dude, what are you doing? At least with Clay Holmes, I don't think, was he actually a free agent at the end of this season? I thought he still has arbitration eligible or something.
Clay Holmes would be in the category of the guys like Gleyber Torres, where it's like him and King, like I don't think they were ever actually seriously shopped. I think the Yankees had been asked about Torres and Holmes, but like they had not actively shopped them. So that's like its own category of like, I would have encouraged them to see what sort of deals were out there on them, and maybe at least maybe traded Holmes. But at the same time, I understand not wanting to impact the 2024 team all that much. But like your Peralta, Bader, IKF.
Yeah.
Why not?
But yeah, like just doing nothing essentially. Like, yeah, technically you did make two trades, one for an actual reliever and one for a made up person with a very, very bad track record in the majors.
A guy who was apparently like, I was seeing like he was DFA'd like seconds before the deadline, and the Yankees were like, we'll take him. So honestly, it wasn't even a real trade.
Yeah, fair. Like they technically sent money to the Rangers. It was literally for cash considerations. I wish they sent Cashman to the Rangers. Hey.
No, we are stuck with him for 4 years.
Yeah, just doing nothing is that's inexcusable, and it's pathetic.
It's very really representative of where the team is right now. Yeah. Like Peter talked about this in his recap, and honestly, when he was on Twitter last night. We're not going to be calling it X. But,
oh God!
Yeah, and Sam went into this a little bit today in his Yankees trade deadline recap. But the decision to just like hold pat. I think we're going to find out in like a few years that like basically Cashman decided, I'm not going to do anything with this team because it's probably a lost cause at this point, and I don't feel like the risk of maybe they put it back together, surprisingly so, was worth whatever was being offered for the rentals. But like, it's just, in the moment, and probably in hindsight anyway, it will still look very stupid. This has been the one of the worst trade deadlines the Yankees have ever had. And that's including like the 2019 one where they literally just traded Joe Harvey. And that was it.
What year was it when they got Andrew Heaney?
That was 2021, but that was bad in a different way. At least like they took swings on that one.
No, I was just was trying to remember. But yeah, no, like Brian Cashman may still be a okay to good general manager, but I don't think he's a good general manager for Hal Steinbrenner's level type of ownership.
I don't think he's a good general manager for 2023. Like, I think
maybe that too.
There was a time, I think, when a lot of Yankees fans were not appreciating what he was doing because there were a lot of good moves in there. But for quite a while now, there have been just a lot of bad ones. And the only highlights have been occasionally churning something good out of Jake, like Jake Bowers. But there haven't really been any like super savvy trades either. Like, the kind that sort of defined his previous decade when they brought in Didi Gregorius, even like as some deadline ones where he got like Brandon McCarthy for Vidal Nuno. That didn't save that season, but it's just a very good little masterstroke. Those are just some small examples, but like, I think the game has just passed him by and the Yankees are just rolling along with it because they gave him a 4-year extension after everything terrible that happened in the second half last year. And I think, you know, his contract was up. They had to make a decision on him, but do you have to give him 4 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's the same thing as like, oh yeah, we'll extend Boone for 3 years after the 2021 bad season and wild card game. Ugh.
Yeah. Like, and again, I don't know if anybody else does anything better because, like, right. I don't disagree. I think the game has passed him by, but I think part of it's also like he just doesn't know how to operate with Al's like budget constraints and restrictions and flip flopping every other year, right? Like, there was talks about like, oh, this trade deadline, they're trying to get under the tax threshold now when like. What, like, you just keep going back and forth, and I just don't think he is equipped to handle that kind of fluctuation from his boss.
Yeah, or the problems where he didn't have. He's talked about like, maybe we could have gotten like a left fielder. There were some budget constraints, and like, yeah, that part is on Hal. It's also on his roster construction.
Exactly, like, and I think it's both things actually. To be honest, like. He the game is passing by and he just especially doesn't know how to function with Hal.
Yeah. And that is something that anyone who would be coming in would have to deal with. So yeah. We trudge along.
2017 was a great, like, obviously one of my favorite seasons ever as a Yankees fan. Like, it was fantastic. And then, you know, they had this like whole like thing of like, oh, we're getting younger. We're going to have this young core. And then what, 6 years later, and it's just like, hey, we're all the shit and bad again.
Yeah.
How, like, does that happen? How do you go from 2017 to 2023?
The only young guy on this team, basically, with DNA from there is, other than Judge, is Glaber. And Glaber might be on his way out. And like, maybe you can lump in Volpe since he was drafted in that time, but I don't think that's accurate.
No.
Instead, they've had to just be pulling in more veterans because they haven't had the internal infrastructure to supplements all these players. Like, it's easy to say, oh, they should be like the Dodgers and have like all these great homegrown people. And yeah, the Dodgers deserve a lot of credit for what they've done over the past decade, just to be consistent winners to turn this out. But now we're seeing more and more teams provide like endless depth. Like, I know the Rays just had a terrible month, but it seems like every other week they pull out, oh, we got this Chad Lowe guy. Like Triple A, and he's, you know, inserted into the lineup. He's getting some home runs. So there's just no real internal help.
They're like the organization, like the ownership, front office, coaching staff, like everything's just bad. Like, honestly, like even if they got somebody, like I wouldn't be like, even if they got like literally Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto at this trade deadline, right? If they did, yes, some people would still complain because they're people, but like I think you and I would both be like ecstatic.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the situation is, because they got two phenomenal talents and they added it to this roster and they're like, okay, yeah, we know we've been messing up, but we're going to try and save the ship. I would expect them to fully just be bad. Like the Yankees organization, as soon as like talent comes here, for some reason, for the most part, and like there are exceptions, Gerrit Cole is obviously a very good exception to that. But like
Clay Holmes turned it around.
Clay Holmes turned it around. But like this organization sucks the life out of you. I don't know what it is, and they have no way to like fix it. I don't know if it's just bad hires on the coaching staff. Like, again, I'm not going to really fault Sean Casey too much. He's just some random dude who got
He
an
hasn't
opportunity
fixed
to. He hasn't fixed anything, but like I don't care about him that much. Like the issue was present before him, and yeah, mid-season you're not going to find like probably a real person. So like whatever. Like you just basically got a warm body to get you through the rest of the year because you were just done with Dylan Lawson. Sure, why not? I don't care. But there's got to be some fundamental changes to the organization because like and like the minors are so successful and it's just like they come to the major. Anthony Volpe, like you know, we defended him for so long, but like it's getting to the point like I don't know what to expect or make of him.
I think with him, at least he's like young enough that it is extremely understandable to have some growing pains. And like if his OPS plus for the season is 80, that's not good. But again, he's a 22-year-old rookie. Some 22-year-old rookies who are top prospects don't come in and immediately win rookie of the year or even all that good. And he's been good at other aspects of the game. So the point for me will be seeing how he develops next year, honestly, more than this year. So,
but do you trust the Yankees to develop him? That's what I'm getting at.
I trust his natural talents at least to sort of shine through.
That's fair.
But again, that's a problem for 2024. But yeah, as you said, like the rest of the team around them is just nothing. Nothing really much unless you're big on Jake Bowers. And also the thing about like 2019, it made them think that they could change any hitter into a huge contributor. But really it's probably just the juice ball, you know.
Yeah, like the Yankees are a team that learns the wrong lessons from their successes.
Yeah.
It seems like, at least in today's world, right? In the universe we're in.
All right. We are winding down on time. Let's take an ad break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's do, if not only just to see how things have changed in the past couple weeks since our last show, our BREF check-in. Who besides Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole is on top?
Well, I would just like to point out Gerrit Cole is just phenomenal.
Yeah,
4.7 baseball reference WAR. So, like incredible, incredible man.
If he can win a Cy Young this year, that would make me at least feel one good thing about the season because he's a guy who's deserved it in the past. And
absolutely,
this is not as a dominant year as some of his other like seasons when he should have won the Cy Young. But hey, if this is it, please, that would be great for him because that guy's great.
It'd be something.
He's the only his starts are the only like games that are actually must watch. You know,
yeah.
If not only just to see what he does, no one might.
That's essentially when I check in. That's essentially when I check in these days.
Yeah.
Following him is obviously Aaron Judge, 2.6 WAR after missing 2 months. Because
Yep.
Anthony Volpe, who I was just crapping on, kind of is number three on the team.
Defense and base running, baby.
Yeah. Clay Holmes, Gleyber Torres. And Michael King round out the top half. Harrison Bader, Baseball Reference loves its defense because his offense has not been there.
No.
Ian Hamilton, Wandy Peralta, Randy Vasquez, give him a spot in the rotation, please. Nick Ramirez, and then Billy McKinney at 12. Like,
Randy Vasquez has made 3 starts and is in the top 12, and that's not even though they like he's looked interesting, and then that's more of an indictment on these Yankees.
Yeah, no, like. Like at this point in the season, like somebody who's made 3 starts and isn't even worth a full win probably shouldn't be the 10th best player on your team.
No.
Probably, but what do I know?
Yeah. All right. So that's that. Who knows? We'll pop up next week, but probably not much inspiring. So also Rizzo is just out of there entirely at this point.
Yeah. No, he's completely fallen off.
Yikes.
It's bad.
Anyway, all right, let's wrap this up. Yankee in, Manfred of the week. Yankee of the week, I'm claiming already Gerrit Cole because I watched him throw 7 shutout innings and is the only good thing. Okay, bye.
That's fair. That wasn't my Yankee of the week is going to be the Grand Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders for their Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Perez bobblehead, office theme bobblehead thing. So yeah, that's the only good thing about this organization right now besides Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge.
It's a good bit with a special guest appearance by Kate Flannery.
Yes.
Thank you, Meredith, for checking in.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I do enjoy, like, it's a little goofy, but for their sake, I enjoy that the Office, like, bit actors, like, people like Stanley, Kevin, Meredith, just are like on the circuit, just making these weird, random, weird appearances. Like, hey, remember me?
Yeah. Really quickly, do you remember when Stanley was trying to get like a GoFundMe for like a spin-off show where he was like some, like rescuing some spy or whatever, but he was playing Stanley Hudson? Like, do you remember this?
No, I don't at all.
Oh, I have to find this reason. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll send it to you.
All right. Who is your man first of the week?
Oh, I'm going for the trifecta here. We're going Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, and Aaron Boone. Come on down and grab your reward, all three of you.
We did it. Congratulations.
Congratulations. You all suck.
Yeah, I don't think I have a objection there or even a counter, because I was just going to say Cashman. But yeah, we can just throw them all on there. Yeah, it's bad. Just all bad.
Honestly, Aaron Boone's like, if it wasn't for the strikeouts quote, is what propelled him into this right now for me. Yeah. I can't get over that. Like,
I guess, yeah, okay, I do have to single out Anthony Rizzo just because he's like, he's the biggest disappointment of the season so far. Like, I think there were enough holes in like DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton and Josh Donaldson that you could reasonably expect, okay, wouldn't be shocking to see these guys fall off. But the degree to which Anthony Rizzo has just been absolute dog shit the last 2 months is horrible. And again, some of it's also on Boone for, you know, batting him third, even though he's like bad.
But it's like, who else do you bat? Like, it's, I mean,
just put Glaber there. I don't know, but like, do something else. That's not working.
There's only so many spots that Judge and Glaber can fill.
Yeah, and Jake Bowers, the Holy Trinity. No,
can't forget him.
All right, we are running out of time, so let's us say farewell. Follow us on Twitter at Podument Park, at Mertens PSA, at Pinstrip Alley, Blue Sky, Threads, we're there too, blah, blah, blah. So go see Barbie, that's what I'll say.
Yep, and Oppenheimer. Yes. Go have the full Barbenheimer experience.
Yeah, don't watch the Yankees. All right.
No.
We'll talk to you about the Yankees again sometime, maybe. Bye.
See you.